Howdy, friends. How are you doing? Here we are, live. Stéphane Maillet, addedsouls.com, the ministry. We are streaming to you through the Added to the Church of Christ, Acts 247 Facebook page. And we want to look into the Bible. We want to talk about things that are written in the Bible. And we want the scriptures to educate our minds into the reality of our Christian faith, our walk on this earth as followers of Jesus Christ. We are followers of Jesus Christ because of the evidence. We have trust in the evidence, the written word, the word of God. It can be defended in court. There's proof in the pudding. And we want to look into the book of Acts. We're going to be looking into the book of Acts, and we're going to find ourselves at the end of chapter 13 and the beginning of chapter 14. The title of this session, Turn On Your Receiver. Turn on your receiver. I'm gonna lay it on the line. We want to be receivers. We don't want to be rejectors. We don't want to reject the word of God. We want to receive it. And as we look closely at the revealed account, witnessed account, in which Paul and Barnabas found themselves proclaiming the word of the Lord to an audience, we quickly see those who were receivers and those who would reject. We don't want to reject. We've been rejecting for too long. We need to repent and we need to return to the information that sets us free from myth, from fiction, truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. We keep seeking a sign. Stop looking for a sign and asking more of God than what He has already given, His Son, the written word through which our faith grows, Romans 10:17. Let's just stick with the facts, shall we? So in chapter 13 of Acts, and I'd like to welcome all our friends here, this growing viewership. We appreciate your kind attention. If you're a visitor here, take a seat, sit down. I want to share something with you. There's a purpose behind it. We want you to listen. Like, share, comment, start some watch parties. All that good stuff allows Facebook to know that they need to throw this into the news feed and allow people to tune in. We want to knock the digital doors. Huh? And these days, it seems like the digital door has been a blessing for many of us. Right? I know you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So in chapter 13, we begin at verse 44, and we see how Paul and Barnabas are proclaiming the word of God amidst a huge crowd. Right? There's a huge following here. The foundation has been shaken, and people are paying attention to what's taking place here. They want to know what's going on. But the Jews, when they saw this crowd and they saw the anticipation and excitement and attentive ear to what Paul and Barnabas had to proclaim, they didn't like that. They were filled with jealousy. Jealousy. Why do they get to have this large crowd? Why do they get to get this gathering audience? We want that. We want the large crowds. Paul and Barnabas were not seeking the praise of men, but these Jews wanted the praise of men, and they were seeing it through these numbers. Oh, they were filled with jealousy, and you know what they began to do? You know what jealousy does? Well, these Jews, they began to contradict the things spoken by Paul, and they were blaspheming. Let's put some vinegar in that wound, shall we? Let's throw some gas in the fire. Contradicting. So you have Paul and Barnabas proclaiming the word of God and its accuracy. Paul, directly inspired by the outpouring power of the Holy Spirit, he is governed by God. He is an inspired vessel, a container holding the information that must be proclaimed. They're jealous. They're jealous. They want to contradict that. As an evangelist, I find myself proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, in a public format every other day. And you'll have those who are jealous among us. Sadly, Christians, oh yeah, among us, who will slither around, contradicting the words we preach, we teach. Ah, that's not what that verse means. His interpretation's wrong. It's just his own opinion. You don't need to pay attention to Paul or Barnabas. That verse don't mean what he says it means. It's always meant what we've wanted it to mean. Don't you know that? Ever find Christians proclaiming the truth, the Big Ten foundation of our faith? You know, the five acts of salvation and the five acts of worship, which are scripturally based. We just have to be careful not to make those the checkbox idolatry. You know, ever see that? They'll creep in. Denominational mindset, you know. Nah. Those verses don't mean what they say they mean. They're filled with jealousy. You think we don't see that over here at the Added Souls Ministry? We reach millions of people every month. Millions. It's only by the grace of God. If you would have asked me what kind of reach I would have had with this ministry back in 2011, 2010, 2012, I would have said, hey, I'm just looking to reach one person in the community. I'd be happy. We're reaching millions of people each month around the world. You know how many brethren, Christians, brothers and sisters are jealous? And why should they? Aren't we on the same team? Here's Paul speaking to Jews in an audience filled with Jews and Gentiles, speaking to Jews, God's people, quote-unquote, people who thought they were in like Flynn in the kingdom because of their Abrahamic lineage and badge. These are God's people. They're jealous. Contradicting what Paul's saying. They're contradicting the source and origin of inspired words. Don't we see that today as well with everything and anything? Could be moral branches. We could be talking about marriage, divorce, or remarriage, social drinking. And somebody's going to come contradict us. Who? A Christian. Now, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly. Boldly! That's not with uncontrollable rage, being rude and disrespectful and brash and forceful and tyrannical. And no. Bold means you stand firm, courageous, encouraged, convicted. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary It was according to the fulfillment of prophetic things written that the word of God, the word of God, be spoken to you first, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Hey, this is a matter of salvation. Look at how he speaks of this. You've not turned on your receiver in order to receive inspired information, the word of God. No, you repudiate it and you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. You don't want the eternal life that is extended your way through Jesus Christ. So behold, you don't want to hear about it anymore. The Jews, well, I'm going to turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. Quoting scripture, Paul does. Paul's good at quoting scripture. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. You see, through the Old Testament system and dispensation, the Jewish mind, Israel, they were to be lights to the heathens, the pagans, the Gentiles, the Greeks, so that the Gentiles would see the light and turn towards God. But they made a big mess of that, didn't they? They spiraled downward every other age into the pits of depravity. Now, when the Gentiles heard this news from Paul, well, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, the word of God. That's where the power lies. That's what is being confirmed. The word of God. Yet today you still have so many religious people who expect a sign, who seek more from God than his word, which saves. No, we want more. That's when they start to create all kinds of misguided channels regarding the Holy Spirit, how he dwells within us, and his works, because we have to add. We need more than the word of God. It's not enough. Yet for Paul, on this day, a man inspired, well, seemed like the word of God was all sufficient, didn't it? And not only that, but the Gentiles, when they heard this information, they were glorifying, rejoicing the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Everyone who turns on their receiver, receiving, reception of the word of God, they believed. Belief here is not just a blank, worthless, dead faith that has no works. It's not just a thought of the mind, oh, I believe. No, it is something that produces an action. There's actually an outward participation. Engagement. We receive the word of God. It produces in us an inward change, a repentance. It produces outwardly an action of obedience, a work of faith, not through meritorious anticipation. We cannot meritoriously earn. However, we can most certainly faithfully obey. This is what that's talking about. And the word of the Lord, again, the emphasis, look at how many times you're going to see that in this brief piece of scripture that has a wealth, an abundance of information. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. It's infectious. It's viral. The word of God is viral. You know, there's a lot of talk about virus and viral these days, isn't there? And the mandates and the precautions therein. Imagine if we'd allow the word of God do what it does, be viral. We, these physical containers, these vessels through which the word can be proclaimed, must proclaim it. For the word of God in of itself has all power. A man just need to read it, study it, believe it, obey it, live it. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. Now, wouldn't that be a spiritual pandemic on a positive note? It's not like if it's never happened. Why on earth do you think the Western world is considered a Christian nation? We've lost that. We've gone wacko. We've gone to a place now where we murder babies. We pervert our children into homosexuality. We've adapted barbaric and violent ideologies like Islam. And we think ourselves so smart under the banner of science to say, there is no God. We're mere animal species, evolved through a big bang, primordial soup. There's no purpose in life. There's no right or wrong. Well, there's the poignant moment and specific origin in which homosexuality and human perversion and rebellion against God leads to abortion and death of our most innocent. What, do you not think this pattern was actually proclaimed before? Well, of course, people lived through this in the ages. And God most certainly spoke about it. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. Right? But the Jews, oh, I'm in verse 50 now, chapter 13, Acts, if you're following along. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city. So they're gathering up their own crowd, their own ilk, people of influence, people they know they can shake up and cause ruckus against and instigate and persecute Paul and Barnabas. And so they drove them out of their district. See, these people, Paul and Barnabas, they have the word of God. They are inspired men. They've gathered a large audience. We don't want that. Get them out of here. We're going to contradict them. We don't want these words of eternal life. How dare he? He's offended us. We're offended. We're the Jews. We have the Abrahamic badge. We're in like Flynn. We are the kingdom of God. Get them out of here. Let's murder them. Let's murder them. Did Paul and Barnabas give up? Did they lose spirit? Did they cave in? Did they compromise? No. Why? Because they have the truth, reality, the word of God. And so they shook off the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. Well, you Jews want to act that way, don't you? Rebellious, stiff-necked hypocrites. You hate the truth. You're fully invested and loyal to your traditions, man-made traditions, to your faulty, misguided interpretation of the scriptures. You want to stay there? You do not wish to be pierced of heart, challenged into a humble repentance? No, well, goodbye, French fry. Time to leave. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They had this miraculous endowment from the Holy Spirit. They were filled with joy. They're being run out of town. But they're filled with joy. Why? Because they have the word of God and they have done great, good, and fruitful things in this area, because the Greeks, remember, the Gentiles, when they heard, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And many of them received eternal life. They believed. That's the positive note in which they are joyful for, and that's where they are launching off to the next area. Never mind the great turmoil that they almost lost their lives, that the Jews, God's people, who should have been receiving them wholeheartedly with open arms, welcoming them to this moment. No, it's not about that. They are joyful for what has been produced, the fruit therein. Friends, evangelists, we find ourselves in areas of the world in season when they want to hear it, out of season when they want to hear nothing about it. And perhaps you just managed to convert one soul in your entire 5, 10, 15, 20-year mission. Be joyful for the words of the Holy Spirit you proclaim to the people. And one turned towards God and left the world behind in all its sinful ways. You've done good. Joyful. Be joyful. Now in Iconium, chapter 14, Acts, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both the Jews and of Greeks. They had gone through great turmoil in the area they were in prior. They were pushed out of town by the Jews. Must have been discouraging, yet they leave in joy because they are mindful of those who believe there. And with that encouragement, they come now here and receive a blessing. What is the blessing they receive? God gave them the talents. What are the talents? The opportunities. To do what? To proclaim the word of God. What did it do? It produced fruit. They believed. And the word believed here in Acts chapter 14, again, is not one of mere mental moment. It is one that produces an outward action, a faithful work of obedience. But the Jews, them Jews, man. But the Jews who disbelieved, they weren't obedient, were they? No. Even the demons believe. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Why, those sneaky snakes? Punch them in the nose. Crazy Jews. So over in chapter 13, verse 45, they were contradicting the word of God proclaimed by Paul and Barnabas. And now in this new location, no, they disbelieve and they want to stir up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Let's capture their minds. Let's go and deceive the most naive among them and throw them against Paul and Barnabas. Therefore, they spent a long time. Paul and Barnabas took a long time there speaking boldly. Boldly again. Friends, Christianity, Christians, we're not supposed to be wimps. We're not supposed to be sissy boys like the world is currently peddling all over the place. Christians are to be brave, standing firm and courageous. Again, not belligerent, obnoxious, rude. Though the world has probably lost connection on those descriptive things anyways. But the fact is, we must be bold and courageous. Here are the examples we read, the accounts witnessed. We can take principle in that. Therefore, Paul and Barnabas spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord. Who do they trust? Not themselves, but the source, the power, the gospel of Jesus Christ, God the Father, the miraculous endowment of the Holy Spirit, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. They have this miraculous power to confirm the word of God, but the people of the city were divided. And some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. Oh, the devil loves division. Unbelievers, they like to stir up trouble, don't they? Worldly-minded Christians in the fold, they love to stir up trouble, don't they? The preacher will preach the truth. The evangelist will teach the truth. The elder, the deacon, they will teach the truth, and another deacon comes in, or another elder, or another preacher, and there's turmoil because there's contradiction. Ah, worldly-minded division! All those verses he taught, they don't mean what he said they meant. Nah, they mean something different. Anything and everything to lure us away from the fact that the Bible is the sole source of solid, objective standard and truth for all religious things on earth. Anything to keep us away from that and just have us to be divided. People of the city, they were divided. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they wanted to murder Paul and Barnabas. Well, Paul and Barnabas, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lystra Caonia, Lyconia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And there they continued to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. See, that's the purpose. That must not be hindered. No matter what, their lives are in danger. They are threatened everywhere as they go by God's people, no doubt. They continue to preach the gospel. It's interesting how they use self-defense, their wisdom, their moments of discernment, right from wrong, how to preserve the word of God being proclaimed in another area. They became aware of the problem, the threat, and they fled to another area. Back in 51, verse 51, chapter 13, but they shook off the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. Let's change direction. Let's go here. Let's avoid the threat. Let's defend the package of great importance, which is the word of God, for a people that might be receptive to it. Turn on your receiver. I'm gonna lay it on the line. You need to be a receptive soul and mind. Don't be like the Jewish mind of this day, rejecting the word of Jesus Christ. We must receive it. Those who receive it, they believed. It produced an action in them of obedience, showing God your trust in His Son, becoming a recipient of the grace and mercy and blessings therein, the forgiveness, the family. Isn't that cool? I think it's pretty cool. I don't know about you, but makes a lot of sense to me. As a man who once lived in death, part of the world and its ways and its most extreme depravity, I guarantee you these words of life, they can pull you out of death if you just become a receiver, not a rejecter or a denier. The only thing needing to be denied is your own self. You can never pick up the cross of Christ if you never deny yourself. These Jews did not want to deny themselves. We know the scriptures. We are the ones who are God's people. How dare you come here and tell us that these scriptures mean something different than the way we've interpreted them for ages? Murder them! Can't fall into that trap. It is a blessing beyond blessing if you are born into a family of Christians, participants of worship and Christian behavior and benevolence and evangelism in the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is! Cherish that. Don't take that for granted. Because sadly, many do, and they become the Jews of our modern-day church that Christ purchased, right? They become the Jews. Well, I was born in the Church of Christ. My daddy was a preacher. My daddy's daddy was a preacher. And I know these verses mean what I say they mean. Blah, 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 blah. They're stiff-necked and hard-headed. You can't deal with these people. They'll run you out of town. They want to murder you. They hate you for speaking the truth in its humble form, rightly dividing the scriptures. Don't become like that, or complacent and idle. And therefore, you start to make man-made traditions of great importance. They seem so holy. Oh, we go to church on Sunday morning, and we put money in that basket. We are holy people. Friends, there's a lot more involved than that. Your heart needs to be in it. There's a lot more than that. If you think showing up to church for an hour on Sunday morning to receive a half-hour sermon with a few verses quoted is going to usher you into heaven one day, dude, you are wrong. It takes a lot more. The Word of God is alive. The words of Jesus Christ, the Christ is alive. The words they breathe, they will change you. Turn on your receiver. Turn on your receiver. No information can come to your mind if your receiver is off. Breaker, breaker, one niner. Need to turn that on. Receive the word. 10-4. Roger. Roger that. Oh, there's good stuff, isn't it? Isn't this fun? Isn't it fun learning together? To the world, foolishness, offensive. To those of us being saved by the power of God, it is the most joyful thing. And who says Christianity can't be cool? The world trying to describe cool is a fallacy of its own error. I'll tell you what's cool. Going to paradise one day, being with our Lord forever in peace, that's cool. Forgive the pun, but it's true, because the other way ain't cool. What the world considers cool ain't going to be cool at all once they transition over to eternity in torment. Ain't nothing cool there, my friend. Ain't no AC blowing in your face. That's what I'm saying. Christianity is cool. Own it. Own your faith. It's because of God you walk this earth. You have purpose now. People want to mock you. You feel remotely hidden away. You feel like the minority being mocked and persecuted. Stand up. Be happy. Be joyful. Stand firm. Have courage. They want to mock you because you don't speak like they speak. Their language that is foul and filthy. Because you don't fornicate. You're not an adulterer. You're not a thief. You're not a murderer. They want to mock you and point the finger and say, you're not cool like us. Good! I don't want to be. If that's cool, I don't want to be your kind of cool. I want to be God's kind of cool. Turn on your receiver. These Jews, they had their receiver off. And they were hostile towards Paul and Barnabas. So much bitterness. Imagine the hate in their hearts. They felt the need to go contradict the truth. Stir up the people, cause division, and even try to murder them. Stand up and be true in the word of God. Tell people about Jesus. Don't be a tyrant. Tell them of the love and freedom there is in Christ. But speak the truth, the word of God. That's what we have that the world don't have. And I see my brethren trying to emulate the world and their way. Friends, we are not a denomination. We are not divided. We don't do things the way they do things. We have the truth. That's what we use. We've grown dull. We've come up with all kinds of different ways. Oh, well, let's try to use this new tactic called the social gospel. I don't see Paul and Barnabas using the social gospel there. They would have done that. They would have been friends with the Jews. It wouldn't have been a problem. Oh, yeah, we're all religious people here. Yeah, no problems. Let's be friends first here, and let's be friends, and everything will be okay. Nothing wrong with being social. Nothing wrong with making friends. But what's the origin? What's the source that changes mankind? Is it being social and being friends, or is it the word of God? What's the bait at the end of your fishing line? Is it a hot dog? Is it a hamburger? Or is it the word of God? Oh, you know I'm making sense. You may not like the way I speak or I deliver it, but you know I'm making sense. If you've read your Bible, you know what's up. Friends, turn on your receiver. Like, share, comment, start some watch parties. Share this wherever you need to share it, whoever you think might benefit from the information therein, be encouraged therein. If you want this kind of content to continue, and you are a member of the Lord's Church, by all means, look at the links I've posted in the description. You can go there and help this kind of content move forward so that we can keep upgrading our technology, the equipment. Hey, listen. The word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is freely given. It is free. But how much did it cost you to buy that Bible this week? Ever buy a Bible? How much money do you think these things cost here? The gospel's free, but you know what I'm saying. In order to make it freely available to the world, we must open our wallets, and we must purchase things. This camera, this microphone, this computer. These Bibles, these commentaries, this office, the lights that are on. If you'd like to partake in the Added Souls Endeavor gospel content, you can do so. Again, check out the links I've posted in the description there. Friends, as the sign there says behind me, stay focused and stay positive. Okay? Let's do what's right. Let's tell people about Jesus. Let's use the Word of God. That's what works. That's what works. It's going to cause a lot of persecution, but we can be joyful from the fruit it will produce also, the conversions. That's what's going on. All right, man, I've talked long enough for now. I'll chime back in later on or another day if the Lord allows my lungs to breathe air and my mind to think. And, yeah, take care, man. God bless.